This is the Mindful Experiment Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Vic. Excited that you're here. This podcast is all about diving deep into the mind and understanding this experiment or this game we call life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is the Mindful Experiment Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Vic. Excited that you're here. This podcast is all about diving deep into the mind and understanding this experiment or this game we call life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Gary, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
I'm excited to have you on. I love what you're up to. I've read a little bit about what you're doing and so forth. I try to keep it small so that way I can ask better. I feel like if I do that, then I ask better questions on the podcast. So,
you bet.
But you know, I'm looking forward to this conversation and just really diving in and picking your brain and sharing that with our wonderful community here. So before we get into everything, my community already knows I like to get into things. So tell us a little bit of your journey, your story. How did you get into what you're doing today?
Well, I date it back to when I was 16 years old, my 16th birthday, believe it or not. I met a man who transformed my life. I was an angry teenager, rebellious teenager, and he helped me to see why I was so angry, what I was angry about. And I asked him, well, I want to do this with other people. And he said, well, go get your PhD in psychology. And that was the beginning of my journey. I followed it, you know, had a couple of diversions to check out, was this really what I wanted to do? And it was. My specialization and what our website's all about and the theory's all about is that I began to see that people were very unhappy and people were constantly in conflict and didn't like what they were doing. And I was trying to figure out what is going on here. And so I put together the idea that people were not doing the things that they were naturally gifted to do, and that they were envying what everyone else did easily and forgetting and discounting what they did easily, and put together an assessment, a theory that tried to explain how people see the world and how that impacts what their natural skill set is. And then we use that so that people aren't, you know, constantly, you know, thinking they're wrong and everyone else is wrong, but beginning to understand that these are just natural differences and that they can be built on, expanded upon, and actually help you to discover some more satisfaction in your life.
I love that. And I think that's so true in so many ways. I talk about it in a way like we have a soul's path. You can use it as our gift or whatever you want to do. I call it the soul's path. And I always say, like, when you divert away from that, what ends up happening is you're going to have these emotions that are going to come up. They're lower vibration, anger, resentment, frustration, envy, those low vibrations. And I said, if you're not aware of it, of asking the questions of why, and you could probably dive way better than this, But it's one of those things like diving into that, trying to really be present with it and listen to it. It's always trying to push you back into that soul's path, and yeah. It's up to you to make that choice. Does that sound? I was getting a couple of yeses here and there, but I'm just. Does that sound?
Oh, yeah. You know, what I find is that there's so much information out there that is very similar with different words and different viewpoints. But absolutely, you know, I talk about being connected to the source, being connected to consciousness. If you want to go religious, is connected to God, and we lose that path. We lose it very easily in the process of becoming, you know, growing up and becoming who we are. And there seems to be, we get stuck. And I think the kind of things that are helpful are the things that push us, you know, past that stuck point, begin to get us back to that connection. I love the way you talked about it, that soul's path.
Yeah. And so my question then for you is, why, I'm a why person. So it's always like, so why does it all begin? Like, where does it all start? Like, where does that, you know, separation or that ideology of like, you know, instead of focusing on what matters for me, I'm going to let the outside world dictate my values and so forth.
Yeah. Well, I think we all go through the process of gaining consciousness and gaining an identity. And in that, I don't think we can escape it as human beings. And as we do it, as that happens, we develop an ego, and the ego is to defend us from the pain that we have to go through to develop that individual viewpoint. This is what I believe. And so that ego works very hard to prevent us from opening up to that life pain, and it keeps telling us the answer to our lives and our happiness is out there in the world. And my phrase is, it's never out and away, it's always in and through.
So true. I love that. Yeah, because the ego is, you know, I was talking to someone one time about this, and I said, I'm like, the ego doesn't stay with you when you pass out in this life.
No.
Like, it stays here. Like, that doesn't go with you into your next journey. And so I'm like, if we live life by ego, we're going to live life by the physical elements of this whole entire world, yeah. Which I don't think that's, at least in my work and my studies, you know, my experiences and all that. I'm like, the power, like you just said, what was the phrase you used again? I want to make sure I word it precisely. Within or through?
Never out and away, always in and through.
In and through. There it is. Yeah, never out and away, in and through. And I truly believe that is in just my own experiences and so forth, and in my own studying on things, that's where the true beauty of life is at. Like the true enjoyment and not the... Because I've chased outside stuff. I think we all have at some point. And I thought I had to figure it out at one point, thought I had it under control. And then all of a sudden it snuck around and created a whole new program, and it totally fooled me. But then there comes that point where the more I dug deeper in, the more I cared less about what we should be doing or how this should be or that. Instead, it was just like, well, what is Vic really want? What does Vic really want to, you know, experience? What it matters to Vic? And that's all I care about.
Yeah.
Is that a journey you take people to? Is that like a goal you want to get people to in some of that work when you're working through the theories and all that kind of stuff? The theory?
It is. It's, you know, there's multiple levels of doing that, because the person has to be to take that journey, they have to be motivated and interested in taking the journey. It can be a difficult journey. So, you know, with my partner, a theory about to begin that process of discovering who you are at a, I don't want to say at a light level. It's not a light level. It's pretty profound, but it doesn't dive down deep into that unconscious stuff that happens, you know, in a true therapy situation. So there's coaching and there's therapy, and people go and pursue it at the level that they want to.
Love that. And do you do any, like, so do you do any work on the unconscious, subconscious level?
I do.
And you have, like, you know, just to share for the listeners, if I'm putting words in your mouth, please correct me.
Yeah.
Why is the subconscious very important to work on to create true impact, I guess, or true change? Yeah. I'll let you leave the verbiage to you. That's your world.
Well, you know, I think it goes back to what we were saying earlier about the ego. The ego gets created to protect us from the pain of growing up, that we get, you know, we get wounded, we get hurt, and that gets, we can't tolerate that pain when we're little tiny children, little small children. So we push into our unconscious but it still continues to affect us. And the ego is designed to protect us from experiencing that. So, you know, delving down into that unconscious, people say, you're talking about pain gear. I don't even remember it. It's like, I know you don't. That's the whole process of what we're going to do, is we begin to uncover that stuff that you're not even aware of, but that's coming through and affecting you and driving you to believe that you're not interesting, you're not worthy, you're not lovable, you know, you're not enough. And that's that constant. And then and if you look, do something outside, we focus you outside, we can fix that for you. I don't believe that. You know, it's the culture constantly is telling us the solution is out there.
Is it because it's less work on the person?
Yeah.
And that's why it's appeasing the people, and that's why it's so pushed. Because I'm a chiropractor, so from my world in the holistic realm, we look at things and it's like, oh, just take a pill and you're all set.
Yeah.
And it's like for a medical doctor world. And I look and I'm always like, yeah, but you're turning off the fire alarm. Like, that doesn't solve the problem. Well, I feel great, or this medication is taking care of this and it's helping me with this. And I'm not against medicine, but I look at it from a perspective like that's outside in. Yes. And that's where my whole world started, from chiropractic, learning that you can't heal from the outside, and you can never, nothing can work from out. I mean, I shouldn't say never or nothing, but true transformation, true. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about, what you do, and when I'm talking about this, you can't go from the outside in, because if you force it, then you create other issues.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that's how it's the same in your world and what you do. Like, when some people try to do it that way, does it just let the problem continue to fester and get bigger because they're not right? Or does it cause other issues, or both? Or what has been your experience, what you share?
Well, my experience is this, I call it a what have you done for me lately game, in that, you know, you can find a solution out there that works for today, or maybe a week, or maybe a month, and then your ego pops up and goes, what have you done for me lately? And so that as you say, it festers. The issues, the dissatisfaction, the anxiety, whatever it is, all the way from, you know, everyday, you know, irritability and dissatisfaction down to, to true neurotic suffering. It's all being driven by the fact that you keep thinking that you tried it and it kind of worked, but it didn't work all the way. So who's at blame? I am. It's my fault. I didn't do it well enough. I got to go do it better this time. And so, yes, it just continues to get worse and worse. Now, when people come to me, whether it be for coaching or for therapy, they said, I'm tired of this. I've had enough. There's, you know, either they're looking for, you know, to be, you know, I was, you know, joke that they come to me and say, well, I'm trying this and I'm not doing it well enough. Help me do it better. And the first goal is to have to help them understand, no, that's not the problem. The problem is you got to stop trying, period. Yeah.
I love that, because, you know, life, you don't try, you just do. Yeah. But it's another thing too, like with humans, it's so fascinating about humans, because I'll see the same thing in my realm in the chiro aspect, where it's like, doc, I've tried everything. I said, well, if you tried everything, you would be in a better state than where you are now. We're like, well, yeah. I'm like, you never tried chiropractic. And they're like, well, no, but you're my, like, I'm the last resort, right? And they're like, yeah, you're my last resort. I'm like, great. I get all the pressure on me, but it's not me. I tell them at the end of the day, it's not me. The point I was going to bring up is that humans will always wait until they fall on their knees and they can't get back up to make a change. Yeah. And there was someone I was listening to one time where they said, like, it's like, if we have some uncomfortableness, yeah, we can handle that uncomfortableness, we can tolerate it, it's not enough to put us in this deep, uncomfortable feeling, then we'll just continue dealing with that. Absolutely. Until it gets to that point. And I love that statement, because it's so true. I think about, like, things in my house that I have to get done. And I'm like, I got to get this little thing done. But it's like, it's not really, it's not interfering with, it's not a big problem. You know, yeah, a plumbing leak, that's a different story. I will get that fixed. But like the little stuff, I'm like, let it tolerate to a certain level. I'm being authentic, I'm being transparent here. Like, I do that in other, some aspects naturally. Sure. I just catch myself. I'd be like, no, I'm getting this done. That's it. I'm done with this. Yeah. But it's one of the things where, and I always ask this question, it's like, why do we have to wait till you're on your knees? Do you can't? Is it just a human thing? That is just how we are?
I think so. Victor, I think there's also the issue that looking at the stuff, you know, going in and through, is not, you know, it's not, despite what you may read in the popular press or, you know, in the self-help books, It's not fun. You know, it's a challenge. You know, what I do, you know, is I constantly, the reward of going through it is much greater than the pain you're going to go through. But the pain that people go through to really look at themselves, is, you know, as I say, it's the pain you're going back to open yourself up to re-experiencing the pain that when you were
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
God, you would rather die than have felt. And it's because it's that fear of being, you know, cut off from that the source that helped you feel connected and attached to yourself and to the world. And we don't want to go look at that one. It's tough. That makes sense?
It totally does. I mean, I had a friend one time, and he'll call it spiritual work. And he was always he's like, you're always doing the spiritual work. I said, man, I go deep. That's just what it's about. I feel like that's where me feeling wise, that's where I need to go do my work. Mm-hmm. And he's always like, yeah, but it seems like so light and airy. I was like, oh, brother, it's not light and airy. Let me tell you, it's the hardest stuff I've ever endured. Yeah. And 3 years later, I see him. He goes, man, that spirituality stuff I've been working on for the last 3 years. I'm like, I could tell your energy shifted. I could just see a difference in his energy and all this stuff. And I could tell he's done some stuff. And he's like, that's intense. He goes, I'll never judge that ever again.
Yeah.
But like you said, the reward, it's like getting, to me, the way I've always see it is like, I'm getting out of prison. I put myself in the cage. I have the key, but I don't realize it. But then once I finally do this work, it's like, oh, wait a minute. This is the key to the door. I can just do this. And wow, then all of a sudden that whole world is vastly different in so many ways.
Part of it too, you know, is like we have a viewpoint, I think, in our culture, and it's that our goal is happiness. And I was talking to people that the happiness is not a goal. Happiness is an experience that we have, just like anger is an experience and sadness is an experience. When you're chasing happiness, you got the problem. If you're not feeling happy, then there's something wrong with you. And if you are happy, you're afraid you're going to lose it. And so that, you know, people keep saying, why do you keep talking about the pain? I said, because life can be very painful. And, you know, it's like the Buddhist saying, you know, pain is inevitable, but right now you're suffering and suffering is optional. So the for me, you know, you talk about the connection, the spiritual connection. That's what we lose as we develop our identity and our ego. And this process helps you reconnect to your soul, to your soul's path, to consciousness, to source, however you want it to view it. And, you know, you talk about how the key, you have the key. You have the key to that reconnection. And then there is a calm. You know, it's like, doesn't become painless and easy, but your ability to tolerate it, to open to it, to face it as it comes to you increases dramatically. And so does your satisfaction.
I can 100% agree with that. I mean, even just my own personal experience, it's been like that, where every time I endure something and go through it and try to stay, you know, I wrote a book called The Walk in the Dark, and it's all about that, right? That contrast that's going to come in life. You're all going to have these challenges, but how to sit with it and the beauty behind it, right? To just shift perspective and seeing it in a different realm. That was the whole purpose of the book. And the power behind that, because then when it comes to other things, like I'm at a certain state in my life now where I'm just like, everything's all good. I don't have to worry about, I don't have to frustrate. And it's not that my life is all great. There's a lot going on, but at the same token, like anyone else's life, But at the same token, it's like, but my perception of all that, the want to control or the want to, it's not there anymore. Or it, sometimes it comes up. I'm not going to, it does. But it's more of just like, I'm more in the state of like, I'm trying to get to like these Buddhist monks that are very advanced and they're just like, they sit there and they know, like they have no worry, or they're just in a state of no worry. They know how to put themselves there all the time or most of the time. And they're always just like, everything works out. Like, you know, they just, they live life so effortlessly, but everything works out beautifully for them.
Yes. Yeah.
That's my journey where I want to get to. But I love how you brought up the spiritual disconnection because it does happen. I mean, we can look at it, you know, I always tell, I was just sharing this earlier, I say this a lot, but like when children come into the world, it's like we're pure, this pure beauty, innocence. I really call that's the real humanness and the spirit. Like if you're, I always tell people, if you want to see what what we are as souls and seeing in the human form, look at a 3-4-year-old. That's usually the peak of what I normally, from a neurological perspective, that's normally what I see. And then I say, but then we get, you know, over time, we start to have that disconnection, 5-7 years old, that left brain really develops, that logical, I think it really implants us into this world. And I think from my own research, I've looked and saw that like at the age of 7, the brain thinks it knows everything about the world now.
Yeah.
Because it's learned what it's learned in the first 5-7 years. And it makes sense because right around 6 years old is when that left brain develops. And then we go back and forth for the next 4 years.
Right.
And it's, you look at that and it's like, yeah, that makes sense how we get stuck in there. And then it's just a reconditioning of those patterns to reinforce them. And that's why I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's why also the teenagers can be a lot of, are what they are for most of us because of that whole reinforcing process over time and time again.
I absolutely agree with that 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I love the way you talk about the, you know, a newborn child is being, you know, the way I describe it is that they're fully connected to themselves, to source, to everything. But we and when I say it's inevitable that we, you know, we get that separations, but they can't reflect. They don't have the consciousness. And so, you know, developing that is what the development of the ego is all about. And in that process, that connection gets broken. So we seem kind of see, we kind of stop. And it's like, no, the next natural step is, you know, let that ego go and reconnect to where you were back when you were with the ability to reflect upon it, to observe it.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, and I have, you know, it's you look at that disconnection, and you just look at how that process goes, and it's like I was telling my wife this. We have a 20-month-old, and I told her when we first had her and all this, I was like, honey, there's going to come a moment in time that we are going to condition this girl in some way, shape, or form. We're going to do something to set that subconscious, you know, and I said, we're unconscious of things. No matter how much we have work on it, we do work on ourselves extensively. I was like, but we can't, it's going to happen. It's design. It's by design.
It is by design.
I said, but you know, what you were sharing there, I appreciate that part because it's what we talk about often. It's like, but even though we know that's going to happen, even though the ego is going to evolve, we can't prevent that and all the stuff that's going to go on. But what we can always do, and that's the biggest mission I have as a dad for all the, I only have one right now. We're hoping they have a couple more, but my biggest mission as a dad is to teach my kids how to always reconnect back to spirit and self, yes. Mainly more important themselves, their soul.
Absolutely.
That if I can do that, I have served my purpose in this world.
Yeah.
And it's funny because this is something I've went through my own shift where like before it was like, I want to have these practices. I want to do this. I want to right outside. And then one day, after having my daughter, my whole value like just flipped. I knew this may happen. I'm going to have a daughter. Things are going to shift. It's normal. Yeah. No, it's different than I ever expected before. And now I'm just like, what can I put in them? Because everyone talks about, I want to give my kids what I didn't have. Right. And I always tell people, no. Give your kids what you didn't get growing up in the sense of reconnecting. Yeah. Yeah. And so my biggest vision right now is that, and who knows? That's not about me anyhow. But I think it's very, you're bringing this up and I love how you're bringing up the spiritual side so much because I think it's something that we kind of, I've been doing this work for 18, 19 years now, connecting the spiritual side and all these different things. Still to this day, I get woo-woo. Oh, you're woo-woo. No. I'm not. What's woo-woo? I'm not woo-woo. Let me bring quantum physics into the picture. Let's talk woo-woo then. Let's bring neuroscience in. There's this, you can't be saying that no more.
No.
But I love how you bring that to the table because I think that's the conversation that I think is where we need to be having out there because it's really about that at the end of the day.
Yep, absolutely. I agree with you. We get caught up in you got to do something. We have to do something in life. People go, well, am I telling you when I said that they got to break the ego? They say, well, are you telling me I got to get rid of my ambition? And I say, no. If you want to go be, attract $1 million to yourself, fantastic. Just don't believe that's what's going to make you happy. And that's the message. Find something that you enjoy doing. Find something that from my perspective, I would say, draws on your natural skills, things that are spirit given, God given, conscious given, and build on that. Don't get caught up in trying to learn stuff that's not who you naturally are, believing that's what's missing and that's what's going to fill that hole.
I love how you said this a couple of times. I just reinforce it. Follow what comes natural to you. Mm-hmm. It is the greatest piece of advice I've ever been told. It's the greatest. It's a lot of advice I give to my own clients because they're like, well, what should I do here? What do you enjoy? Like, let's say marketing, right? So like, oh, I got to market. I got to do this. No, what do you mean you got to do? What do you enjoy that comes natural to you? That people look at and go, how do you do that? How do you do this? Like they start asking those questions to you and you're just like, I don't know. This just comes natural to me. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's always where your hitting gifts are usually.
I think that's a great diagnostic. When you don't know how it is that you're doing what it is that you're doing so easily and well, you're right on a natural skill because we don't have the consciousness. It's just coming through us rather than trying to come from us.
Love that, brother. I could talk to you all day. We're on the same wavelength here. Same words, sometimes a little different, but same thing, which is awesome. I love when we can label something and we have our own ways of labeling it, but it's the same thing. I love that. But how can people follow your work, get connected to coaching, other work you're doing and all that stuff and follow all that good stuff that you bring into the world?
The first place to start is, I like is help people begin to understand and figure out what their natural skills are. There's a website that describes the theory that we've put together and it has the assessment available. You can do it self-study. You can have a coach to help you through it. You can get there at www.yourtalentadvantage.com. So yourtalentadvantage, onelongword.com.
And I'll have that in the show notes for everybody so you can go ahead and take that assessment and really, start to, shift gear because I really believe when you do things that come natural to you, it's also an excitement in a sense. Yes. It's not work.
Yes.
At least that's always been in my world. Like I always had an inclination in nutrition and exercise and health and, and understanding those principles always came so easily to me.
Yeah.
Art, English, and all that, forget about it. Not pushing myself that right. Not me. And I've learned that's why I've learned when I was looking at what I should do for my career, and I was like, well, science and math comes easy to me. Math, I understand the principles. And I don't know how. I just see it and I'm like, oh, this means this. So, it's one of those things where doing those things is through my own personal journey, it's been the most uplifting things when I do things that just come natural and I can learn quickly.
Yeah.
Like I don't have to put a lot of effort in. And I always laugh when I have to do double the triple the work to learn something, I'm like, this is not for me. So
another good diagnostic on that really quickly is that when you're doing something and you enjoy the doing of it, not the completion of it, you're on a natural skill as in, okay, I got that done. That was really rough, but I feel good because I've gotten it done. No, that's an acquired skill. You've learned to do that at a price.
That is awesome. That's gold right there. For all the listeners, listen to that. Go and hit repeat again. Go back a little and listen to what he said there again, because I think that's really critical. Instead of looking at the completion, look at the process of it. And when you enjoy that process, you're really doing that. I think that's really doing soul work there, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
I love it. Well, I appreciate the work you're doing, brother. Thank you for taking time to come out and chat with us for a little bit, share your wonderful wisdom and what you're doing for the world, to our community and so much more. And for the listeners, check out his stuff, check out the website, take that assessment and so much more. But thank you for being on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you found this episode to be inspirational, pay it forward by sharing it with someone that you know can benefit from this. If this is your first time tuning in, please follow us, connect with us so you don't miss another amazing episode. And until next time, keep rocking and rolling.
Hey, Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you found this episode to be inspirational, pay it forward by sharing with someone that you know can benefit from this. If this is your first time tuning in, please follow us, connect with us so you don't miss another amazing episode. And until next time, keep rocking and rolling.